Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you for everyone that's here and the ones that couldn't come and the ones that are on the way. And we thank you for this another wonderful Sunday to be alive, well, and swelled and blessed. Father God, I thank you that it's all of you and none of me. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal, Lord God. Let something be said that minister peace to your people, Father God. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you agree with me, say amen. Amen. We thank y'all for one coming out today to get the word. We're going to share something with you. I'm going to continue on still talking about the peace of God, the power and abiding in God's peace. The power and abiding in God's peace. The definition of peace is freedom from disturbance and tranquility. Freedom from disturbance and tranquility. How many of you know in this world things can happen in your life that can try to get your what? Your peace. Try to get your joy. Go to John 3:16. The scripture that we know, but John 3:16, I want to give you some scriptures today and read the word for yourself to build you up and fire you up in the name of Jesus. John 3:16. When you have it, say amen. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come unto the world, and men love darkness and rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, at least his deeds should be reproved. So, we here go to scripture here to explain. Here goes Jesus. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. This sucks. God to die on the cross to set us free. But I like something that I want you to highlight on in this scripture. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Who believeth on him? That means you must believe that Christ is a person that wants to get involved with your personal life. Believeth on him. You must believe that he can make things better for you. You must believe in that, the factor of that. That's the reason you come to a church where you get the word of God, where you grow. When your belief level goes up, you begin to believe more what Christ can do in your life. Know that he wants to make your life better. Go to John 10:10 while we're in John. I'm showing some things through the word of God so you see for yourself. I believe in having the word there to show you. John 10:10. When you have it, say amen. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more what? Abundantly. Having more what? Abundantly. Under that, underline this, I come that you might have life. Circle that, underline that. Life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Satan is the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ comes, John says, in the book of John, Jesus comes that you may have what? Life. You may have life. You may have peace. You may have abundantly, a better life. So when Jesus comes to your life should seem to get better, but you have some way of backing and hope to back you up. So we see here, we see believeth on Christ. You see here where he says that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly just don't mean possessions. You can have those as well. But abundance also means that when you go through stuff, someone that's in abundance, they always see God pull them out. That's an abundant living person. Say, I am an abundant living person. I trust in God. Okay. So So when you trust in God and your abundant living, that means abundance means your life is improved and gets better because it's in abundance. That's also when you go through stuff, feelings, emotions, having the peace of God gives you an abundance. Abundant living person. Go to James chapter 3, verse 18. Having an abundance in Christ. James chapter 3. Having an abundance living in Christ. James chapter 3, verse 18. When you have it, say amen. I want to show you some scriptures on peace yourself. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 18. James chapter 3, verse 18. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's part of when I taught y'all about righteousness, righteousness in right standing with Christ. We're being raised righteous through the blood of Christ. But one of the rights of you as a Christian is that you should have what? Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Don't let the enemy always get you disturbed and frustrated. You should be a person that can maintain their peace in spite of the things that goes on in this world. A peaceful person is a person allowing God to use them, but allowing them to always be able to hear his voice. If you're not hearing God's voice, you can, by disturbance or things that's going on, even stuff that's going on in your life, have you taken time to spend time with the Lord, to spend time with God, with the stuff that's going on at work or at school or college, whatever you're working on in life? Have you taken the time to spend time with God for yourself? Have you set aside a specific personal time to spend with God? And when you can do that, God can help you maintain your peace. He can help you maintain the thing that you're going on. He can help you not be anxious for nothing. When things are not working out the way you think they should, God can maintain and help you, give you your peace. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're talking about the power of the ability of having peace. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Second Corinthians 13:11. Second Corinthians 13:11 says, finally, brother, that's what I want. Yeah. Farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in what? Peace. Live in peace, and the God of the God of the love and peace shall be with you. Now let me ask you something. How do you really live in peace? The Bible says trials and tribulations will come, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the troubles of the world. How does a person completely live in peace? I always say you can have peace or you can fall into pieces. One way you can live in peace is that you have total trust and reliance on God. But somebody said, man, how do I get trust in God? By you having God's word in you. I say this before. Just like having a bank account or having an investment or having whatever you have. When you have that there, that money that's there, that's money in the account. That's physical money you have access to. Same way spiritually. If you take time to spend some time with God, when you put that in your spiritual account, when things come in life that you don't expect to happen or your peace is being frustrated, you have the ability to pull on your what? Your spiritual account. If you don't put nothing in the spiritual account, now you don't have nothing to withdraw from, and you're wondering why your peace is not withstanding because you have not put nothing in the spiritual account. You must put something, you must read God's word. You must pray as a Christian. It is not good for a Christian not to have God's word in them. Because the Bible says if you're going that way, the scripture says when Satan comes to a house that's been clean and swept. What is that? That's a person that has no word in them. If he comes to a house that's been clean and swept, he say, and then the enemy comes to see no word is in you. He say, that man or that woman is in worse state than they was the first time, and they can't figure out what's wrong with me. How come I don't have any peace? Have you took time to spend time with God? Have you took time to spend time in His Word to build yourself up in that? Because that's your spiritual account. You may have a lot of money, your natural account. You may have degrees, nothing wrong with that. But your spiritual side, are you taking time to feed your spirit? When a man or woman can feed his spirit, that maintains their peace, because then their soul realm, they have trust completely in God first. Nothing wrong with relationships and friendships and things of that nature. But if you have a connection first with God, the Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is what? The first commandment. Why did he say that? He said, because hang everything else on that. Because if you can have the maintaining your peace with God, when you have the God connection, when the human connection don't do what you think it should do or don't do right in aspect, because it's going to happen, they people, you still go back to your first source that you have your connection first with God. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Having the peace of God. Having peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes you're riding down the road, you can see folks unpeaceful, and you can see, how do you keep your peace with the thing that's going on in the world? Trusting God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. It says, let him eschew evil, that means run from it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do what? Evil. So God, another thing produces peace within you when you pray to God. When you take time and you spend time with God and you pray and you go to God with your problems, what you may be dealing with, you go and confess it to God. That's what's amazing about being a Christian. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you have access now to God the Father, that you can go to Jesus and talk to him and tell him some things you can be telling him that's troubling you. A peaceful person, when you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, you're able to go to God and communicate with God. Tell him something that could be bothering you. Tell him something that may have hurt you. Ask God, then that keeps you peaceful. The key thing would normally bring you unpeaceful is what? People, other people. Somebody that's going to try to take your joy. Somebody that's going to try to say something to make you upset. But if you can maintain your peace as a person in Christ, that individual or that thing won't let you lose your joy or lose your peace. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Show you through the word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, look at this, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That keeps your heart, I'm going to stay on the scripture for a minute, but keeps your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we're just reading here in... It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Here we go again, prayer and supplications. A person that prays together, a praise with God, has a connection with God and has a stronger spirit than somebody who doesn't pray. With thanksgiving, when you're a person that's thankful for what you have, when a way to start breaking your peace down is when you become to having a what? A complaining spirit. A person that never can be grateful or having an attitude of gratitude or thanking God for the way. Another way to start having a unpeaceful spirit is to be what? Unthankful. When you're not thankful for what you have, when you thank God and whatever you have, be thankful right now at this moment. Don't wait until later on. Don't wait until you get the better job. Don't wait until you get the bigger home. Don't wait until you're driving the other car. Don't wait until you're making a certain amount of money. Right now, at this point, thank God for what you have. Thank God you're in your right mind. Thank God you got a car to drive. Thank God you got a place to lay your head. Thank God you got food in the refrigerator. And before you know it, you start thanking God for what you have, not in the midst of any bad. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thanking God, I'll show you somehow, it's so important to thank and praise God that keeps you in peace. A way of thanking is thanking God for what he's done for you already, what he's doing for you right now. But if you have a complaining spirit, now you're allowing the enemy to speak. You're using your mouth as a weapon against yourself. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then in verse 19, it says, quench not the spirit. So guess what? How can you quench the spirit or start affecting your peace when you're not praising God in everything? I didn't say for everything. I said in everything. Because some folks will say, well, praise God for everything. And they could have just got their arm broke. And they say, well, Lord, praise God, my arm broke. I said, I ain't praising God for it. It said in it. In the midst of it, how can you say, if your arm got broke, I can say, Lord, I thank you I had insurance to get the cast on my arm. Lord, I thank you in the fact that my other arm ain't broke. You start praising God in what you have. And that will produce you to have a more peaceful spirit instead of you complaining. Say, I will not complain. Complaining starts the process of you having a non-peaceful spirit. A negative spirit, a negative conversation, never thankful for what you have, never grateful for what God has done for you. That starts the process. Proverbs says, a life and death is in the power of what? The tongue. So what you say can speak what? Life, or it can speak what? Death. Remember, you don't use your weapons against you. You know, people say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, which I believe that. And every tongue that rises against me shall be condemned, which I believe that. But don't let your tongue be your weapon against your own self. Don't speak doubt and disbelief to your own self. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you start speaking doubt and unbelief, are you using your tongue against you? Yes. Your own weapon against yourself? Yes. You're saying things negative in your life? Yes. You can't find a way to be thankful and grateful. When you find that in life, you begin to have peace. If you complain about everything, the enemy starts to laugh because he knows you stay in that position forever because you refuse to find a way to thank God for what you have. Thank you, Lord. So when you begin to thank God for what you have, you keep your spirit peaceful. Why do you want to keep your spirit peaceful? The reason you want to keep your spirit peaceful, so you can hear his what? His voice. You can hear God's voice tell you to do something. In the midst of what's going on at work, in the midst of what's going on at school, in the midst, God can give you an answer to the problem to show you something to do to help to what? Fix the problem. But if you get complaining, if you get never happy, if you get this ain't never going to work out, and you can't, now you can't hear his voice. And see, that's why to the point as Christians, we want to be able to always hear his voice. If we can hear his voice of a stranger, we will not follow. And sometimes the stranger is, you know what? Another form of peace. What are you around constantly? What are you listening to constantly? What are you putting in your spirit constantly? Who you on the phone with constantly? Who you on Facebook with constantly? Who you texting constantly? So what is in their spirit if you're around that individual and you don't know it? If they are complaining, nagging individual, you are going to start to be just like that. What you hang around? What you listen to? When you start saying to yourself, what am I allowing to be around me? Now the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the what? Issues of what? Life. Guard what goes in your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. What gets into your heart, which can affect your peace. If you're around somebody who's never peaceful, no matter what, and you constantly hear that, you're going to begin to act just like what you are around. Say to yourself, am I around a peaceful people? If I'm not, I got to figure out a way that I keep my peace. Because if I lose my peace, I go into pieces. But what am I allowing to get into my eyes, ears, and mouth? What am I around constantly that could be affecting my peace? Because if I keep my peace, he'll keep me in perfect peace. If I keep my what? Mind what? Stayed on what? On him. He'll keep me in perfect peace. The perfect peace is not losing your peace. But check yourself. If you're around those negative things, if you're not taking time to fill your spiritual account, like I said earlier, with God's word, and you're not be able to pull from that, you're going to pull for whatever is in you. That negative person, that negative vibe, that thing that's in you, you're going to only pull from what is in you. So you got to say, what have I allowed to get in my heart? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. What have I allowed to get in my heart? I'm going to explain that now. What am I allowed to get in? What I'm around constantly? All I would tell you is it's four kind of people. People that add, multiply, divide, and what? Subtract. So if you constantly around somebody, they always adding and they multiplying, that's a good thing. They adding to you. That don't mean always financing. They saying something to you, encourage you. They building one another up. That's a good relationship. But if you're constantly around someone who's negative, subtraction, and they're dividing stuff in your life, that is a sign that you don't want to be around. What is this person adding to my life? What value are they bringing to my life? That's what you got to look at in the relationship of maintaining your peace. In the line of work I'm in, I see people get in trouble just because they're around the wrong person, associated, connected to the wrong person, and they did something wrong and had to pay the penalty for it because they was hanging around the wrong person. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all what? Diligence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows what? The issues of life. The issues of life. Say, what kind of issue of life you could be having right now? What issues you keep dealing with? What is in the abundance of the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the words say the mouth speaks. What's in your heart in abundance that are allowing the issues to be there? What issue are you dealing with that you're allowing to go through your eyes, your ears, and your mouth and getting to your heart and causing an issue? You must check the peace of God. How do I maintain my peace, preacher? How do I maintain it? Your first evidence, your first thing is you should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship means you take time and spend time with the Lord. That is where you keep your heart pure and before God. And then if you're choosing to be a godly person, you must hang around people who choose to be what? Godly. If you're changing that method and friends are walking away, I mean, when I first rededicated, some friends walked away because they said, I can't do what you do. And later on, some of them wanted to change and saw the peace of God in my life and wanted to be more of a Christian. But sometimes you have to choose and shave off the ones that are not doing godly things. If you're around people who trying to constantly get you down to go down the wrong path and do things that's not right to get you in trouble, you might need to look at, you might need to see what's going in my heart. You're a married person and you're constantly around people who are trying to pull you to leave your husband or leave your wife. That's the abundance of what's in your heart, and it's going to make an issue in your life. What are you around? If you choose to be godly, you must choose to hang around godly people. You can influence them, but you must not let them in your heart to make you do ungodly things. When you hear of ungodly things and you're constantly around that, that's what you become to do. They'll make it seem like it's okay. They'll shave it down and say, oh, it's not that bad. God understand. They'll make excuses. I call it making loopholes in the word of God. They'll start telling you it's okay to do certain things, and they know it's not okay. But if you're around that constantly, you will start acting like what you're around, and things in your life that was once peaceful are becoming unpeaceful because of what you're around. What are you hanging with? What are you listening to? What are you allowing to go into your system? I can't change that for you. I'm very particular now who I let in my ears, my mouth, and say things to me. I don't hang with everybody. I can minister to some folks, but if something should be feeding you when you're around each other to build each other up. There's a building effect when it comes to that. No, go to, so that part, that wouldn't have covered that. So you check yourself. Say, what am I allowing in my system? What am I listening to? How many times a day am I saying something building me up? Thank God to be alive when you wake up. Lord, thank you for another day instead of, oh, here we go again. I know the job may be hard, but say, God, show me how I can fix it. The Bible says he knows everything. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I'll show you things hidden and fenced in that you don't have knowledge of, that you don't know about. Ask God for the wisdom on what to do to how to fix the situation. That's the reason you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He will give you the wisdom on what to do. He will give you the wisdom. Like I said, knowledge is good. Nothing wrong with knowledge. Get every degree you can. Read every book you can in the natural. Get every kind of thing in knowledge-wise. But when knowledge runs out, that's when wisdom kicks in. If you only got knowledge, you only go so far. You got no shit. Knowledge is good, but when you have wisdom, the wisdom of God will pass all understanding, and wisdom will tell you something to do that everybody say, how did you get that idea? Where did that come from? That's the wisdom. That's what I seek God more. Lord, give me wisdom. So if I have wisdom, when my knowledge runs out, which I read the books, you got the degrees, good. Now you don't know what else to do. But you hear a still small voice say, hey, do this. And you do it. And you see results in your life. Why? That's the wisdom. The devil don't want you to keep your peace because he don't want you to be able to have a peacefulness. You ever been to a house when everything was peaceful and quiet and it was peaceful? And you been to a house where it was just disturbance? Kids running all around, everything running everywhere, swinging on the ceiling flag, and I was cutting up. But they're doing all this stuff to create disturbance. It's not peaceful in the house. Same way with you. You have to maintain your peace. If somebody tried to get your peace, you go somewhere and maintain your peace. If you're living somewhere and they just say, you go do something to maintain your peace, because at the end of the day, you have to keep yourself in peace. So you're not stressed out, worried. The Bible says, cast your cares on him, for he what cares for you. Casting means to throw at with authority. To say, God, I can't handle this. This person is bothering me. God, I give you a peace. I tell you something to do. But the key thing is, once God tells you something to do, you have to do it. That might take, get up, go exercise. Oh, go do this. Do it. That's what I'm learning. Everything in life, God has an answer to the problem. But what happened with us is we failed to execute. Something I'm working on myself. I said, Lord, when you told me to do that, I should have do it, get it done. Because at the end of the day, God is trying to make your life better, improved if you do it. But now I'm going to hit on some more things. But guard your heart. Don't let negative things come in your heart. Don't share your vision with everybody. Everybody can't believe with you. Those type of things that you got to look at. Go to Psalm 4:8. I'm building your spirit up. Psalm 4:8. Guard your heart. Don't be around negative things. Don't be around people doing corrupt stuff. That's thing that's not right. You have to make that change. You want to do right and change, you have to make that decision. Psalm 4. Verse 8. It says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. How is that? To break that down. That's what I wanted. No, I'm sorry. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For the Lord only maketh it me dwell in safety. Now, I want you to highlight that. A peaceful person. If sometime in people, somebody could be on this podcast listening somewhere. If you're not sleeping well, ask God to give you peace. Say, Lord, I'm not sleeping well at night. Things are bothering me. My mind worries and wonder. Lord, God, you know, God wants you to sleep good. He wants you to relax and get a good sleep so your body can be restored. He wants you to be well and sleeping with that. But you got to look at it and say, God, help me get some good sleep to rest. When a person can rest good, even you look more youthful and you look more peaceful. I know I've been resting good, amen? But you got to choose to yourself, Another thing when it comes to peace, you can rest well. God, Lord, let me get peace and let's get some good sleep and rest well. I've run into so many people in certain things they deal with when they come to their sleep. Believe that God can heal you and get a sweet sleep. Study your scriptures on sleep. The Bible says that all through the Bible talks about having a good, sweet sleep, loving sleep, relaxing your body. God wants you to have that in your life, sweet sleep. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Show your scripture in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Second Thessalonians 3:16. It says, now the Lord of what? The Lord of peace. I'm just showing you some scriptures today at church. Now the Lord of peace himself gives you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Now the Lord of peace himself. So peace comes from God. The peace that passes all understanding comes from God, the Lord of peace. So he's the Lord of peace. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you peace. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to show you something in the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Normally, I just say it at church, but I be wanting y'all to study for yourself so you see. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, look at this, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. But meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. But I want to say, having the fruit of the Spirit, when you have God's Spirit in you, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Peace. Peace, joy, peace. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Keep yourself in him and having his peace. The peace of God. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I'm giving you some word this morning. But I want you to go back and study this whole week. Don't let nothing get your peace. Write these scriptures down and go back out and study them for yourself. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. When you have it, say amen. Let me get it myself. Colossians 3:15, one of my favorite scriptures. But it says, and let the peace of God rule in your what? Hearts. Rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. How do you let the peace of God rule in your heart? By having God's word in your heart. That's how the peace of God rules in your heart. What's in your heart? You got to check. I just showed you what goes in your, how something gets in your heart, not your physical beating heart, but the soul of a man. What goes through your eyes, your ears, and your mouth gets into your heart. But this scripture just says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Let it be. One scripture says, let the peace of God rule as an empire. Let it be the empire of your life. Let it be the one that rules in everything, that gives you peace. When something don't happen that you unexpectedly and the doctor tells you something you don't quite understand, what rules in your heart is that if you have God's word in you, you'll respond quickly to what God's word in you instead of reacting to what the world says about a situation. You may have got an answer, a bad report about your son or your daughter or something unexpected. The peace of God says, I trust God no matter what. You may have got let go on a job or something happened and you don't understand. The peace of God says that God shall, he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And God loves me and perfect love casts out all fear. So if I have that peace in me, I won't go to pieces. I stay in peace. I will stay in his presence. And I say, God, even in this situation, I don't understand. I won't allow myself to go to pieces. One of the things that happens when you allow yourself to go to pieces, you get in the flesh more than the spirit. I'm sure in the word where it says that. You allow the flesh to control you. If you get into, out of peace, you go and drink yourself silly. You go and get on drugs. You go and do something out of the will of God for your life because you allow the flesh to control you and you panic. A panic attack or an anxiety, worry and all of that because you have gotten away from having the peace of God that passes what all understanding. The devil will want you to panic more than you have peace. Amen? He wants you to panic. He wants you to get in fear. He wants you to get in anxiety. He wants you to run around with your head cut. Oh, what I'm going to do? Oh, he's getting it. He said, well, trust God. At the end of the day, you got to have that peace. A peaceful spirit trusts God and allows God to speak to them in their situation. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, I'm showing you all through the word of God. Coming to church is important to keep your peace. Reading your word is important. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, I'm showing you some scripture this morning. It says, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. It said, it's to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A carnal minded person is a person who does, it says, is death. That don't mean physical death. Death means in this situation, separation from God. Separation that you couldn't hear God's voice on what you could have did in this situation to make you become a winner. When you become with Christ, there is no problem. There is no situation that he can't fix if you rely and trust on him. So to be carnally minded means fleshly minded means the word is not in the word. You responded like I always say more. You reacted more than you responded. So if the spiritually minded, that don't mean floating. That means God's word in you. Because if you read verse 7, because it says, because the carnal mind is infamy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, if any man have the spirit of Christ, has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life is because of righteousness. So Christ now is, you know, he's in you. You have to tap into the gift that's there. So God laid on my heart, there's a lot of born-again believers who say have Christ, but their gift is dormant. Or they haven't spent time with God. They become complacent. They haven't gotten his presence. And the spirit wants to be lifted up. God said, if my name be lifted up, I will draw all men unto thee. But in you, you must have your spirit built up so God can speak to you and tell you something to do to make you become a winner. Because at the end of the day, God wants to see you what? Win. He wants to see you on top. He wants to see you conquering what the devil is trying to do, trying to make you think you can't conquer. When you're in the spirit, that don't mean flow to mean God's word. You respond quickly to what God's word says to you. When he says you can't, God's word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the joy of the Lord is my strength, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you start responding to that instead of reacting to what the world says. And now you have a peaceful spirit because you walk around and know that you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never walk away from you because he loves you too much to bring you down. There is hope that's in God. Now you have a life of expecting things. You're expecting God to show up, to tell you something to do. See, sometimes showing up don't mean you're waiting for a check in the mail all the time. Sometimes showing up, you ain't waiting for somebody to call you to give you something. Sometimes showing up, God will give you the answer and tell you what to do. And when you do it, you get the results and say, God, my God, you are real. Because we have to get to the point that God wants to see us successful. Go to Jeremiah 29:11. I got a few more scriptures. I want to get back in your mind. Having the peace of God is walking in the Spirit is what God's word tells you to say. You respond instead of react. I told you that before. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts. Everybody know the scripture. You've been in church long enough, you've heard the scripture. But if you haven't, here we go again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Look at this. Thoughts of what? Peace. Here you go again. Thoughts of what? Peace. And not of what? Evil. To give you a what? An expected end. Thoughts of peace. He thinking. So if God think on thoughts of peace and we're supposed to be following the image of God, what we're supposed to be thinking on thoughts of what? Peace. Peaceful thoughts. And not of evil. To give you an expected end. A better end. An improved end. When you expect something, you know, I don't do it, but a lot of folks, they go play the lottery a lot because they expect to win something, you know. They're going to spend a whole bunch of money because they expect it. One day I'm going to play the lottery. One day I'm going to win millions of dollars, and you may or may not. But it gives them some hope that they're going to get out of the situation that they once was in. That's expecting, but God said he will give you an expecting end. Another thing, when you walk in peace, you are expecting God. Don't always expect someone to just have to give you something. It could happen that way, but that's the lowest form. Expect God to speak. Expect God to tell you something to do. The Bible said, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling before God. That's a person with a relationship. And when you're in God's presence, expect God to tell you something to do. And when he tells you to do something, you go and you do it, and you see the results, and it brings the peace of God that could be in your life. Could it be something in your diet that God has told you something to change, and God is trying to bring you an expected end? I mean, was this story where I watched a lot of things. I think it was on the 700 Club. And this one lady was a nurse, and she worked at nighttime. And she would eat all different kind of food, hamburger, hot dog, because it was, you know, she worked nicer. So she wasn't eating good. And one day she had a mild heart attack. And as she grabbed her chest, she was a born-again believer Christian. And she grabbed the chest, and the Holy Spirit told her, she said, I didn't expect for you to get sick like this. I don't want this is not my best for you. And she heard that voice, and she made it through the mild heart attack. But from that day forward, she changed how she ate. How she did things and became a physical fitness trainer. But that there was letting you know she changed. I want to let you know God has wanted the best for you in everything in your life. Whatever God is telling you something to do for you to do, work out your own soul salvation. When you do that, it's going to make it life. It's going to make it better for you. You may not want to do it in the flesh, but spiritually, God's words sharpens you to become a better individual. On this physical earth. That's what it's designed to do. Now, yeah, you go to heaven. Yeah, you hear God. But you become a better individual on this earth. In every realm. Spirit, soul, and body. God could tell you to do something in your finances. God could tell you to do something in your health. God could tell you to do something in every aspect. But if you start seeing that. See, if you read the scripture here. He says the Lord thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Evil is, oh, the Lord want me to fail. That's evil thinking. No, that's against God. Oh, the Lord don't want my marriage to make it. That's evil thinking. It's not of God. Start thinking thoughts that will bring you peace. That'll bring a smile on your face. That'll put a pep in your step. That'll bring joy in your heart. That's inspected in. Say I expect great things in God. When you start expecting that. See, the devil want to get you stopping expecting. He wants to get you to stop hoping. He want to get you to stop believing. He want to get you to stop that God can't do it or it's far too gone or whatever. Keep your expectation level up in God. And the one way you do it is having God's word in you. And when God's word in you, in that spiritual account, like I said, you can withdraw from that spiritual account. And now you have a way to maintain your peace. Go to Isaiah 26:3. See, the devil, you can't let the devil get your peace. That's something he want to get you. He want to get you frustrated, aggravated, fussy. If you fussing all the time and ain't happy, you let the devil get your peace. If you fussing at everybody else all the time and blaming the world, that's another thing. Quit blaming other folk for your problem. Accept what you've done. Now, it's something that folks have done, yeah. But when you've done some stuff, you have to, a mature person can accept the responsibility of what they've done wrong, and that allows God to heal them. Isaiah 26:3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." In perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on what? On thee. Because he trusts in thee. A way to keep in perfect peace. How do you keep your mind on him? That don't mean you walk around quote scriptures and being religious and acting looking silly. But you do quote scriptures and you say it to yourself. But if you keep your mind on him, that will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's one of the keys to peace. You trust God. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thy what? Own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him." And he will what? Lead, guide, and direct. I love it. He will lead, guide, and direct that path. In other words, he'll give you a path to go down. He'll lead, guide, and direct that path. There's a path he'll tell you to go. Lord, there's trouble in me. God said, here go the path. What path? Do this. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because it says, if you're hearing and not a doer, you're doing what? Deceiving your what? Own self. So he, once he give you the path to go down, take that path. Follow the yellow brick road, as I say. And once you start taking that path, God said, do this and do that. Now you start taking that path and not leaning to your own understanding. The path you take will bring peace. God may be having you do it. God said, do this, do that. And you start, that path you take will bring peace. That path you take will bring an expected end. I would like to give you an example of Jesus in the Bible. I show you. Go to Matthew chapter 8. But our ultimate person we look up to as Christians is Jesus Christ. If we see things that he did that brought peace, you got to see what we do. We can't let the troubles of the world trouble us. We have to trouble the troubles of the world with what we believe through God's word. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was what? Asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now, what was amazing about this? Jesus is our ultimate example. When stuff was acting crazy, Jesus was on the boat, was asleep. For that, everything was shaking and blowing and whoo, shooting. They were like, Simon getting thrown around, and Jesus on the boat, asleep. Jesus, you in that sleep. And Jesus got up out of white mouth. Man, what y'all want? Say, Jesus, you see all what's going on, man. Look at this man storming, shaking the boat, going, everything, man. Wouldn't you? They losing their peace. And Jesus said, hey, why are you tripping? And the disciples came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And look, I like what he said in verse 26. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye little faith? In other words, do you know you have the Messiah on the boat with you? In other words, you got the man of all peace with you on the boat. What you tripping about? Let me show you something. And then he said, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See, most of us ain't going to be on no boats. I ain't really rowing no boats, you know. Most of us ain't going to be out there on the sea or nothing like that. But what is it, something in your life that it can be shaken? And if you go to Jesus like they went at Jesus, that it could be rocking the boat or something going in your life unexpectedly. If you go to Jesus, what did Jesus do to the storm? He rebuked it. He said, hey, storm, peace be still. And immediately, whoosh, the storm stopped. The rain stopped. Everything stopped. And the disciples like, man, who in the world is this? That even the storm stopped. But that happened in that aspect. In your life, what is it going to be that the storms are shaking and you go to God and he, just like he went off that boat and said, peace be still. Calm down. He took care of his people. What could it be something in your life that's stormy? What kind of storm could be in your life that's affecting your peace? Is it work? Is it a child? Is it something going on in your finances? If you ask God, I believe God has an answer to everything in this physical world. But now you got to be willing to obey God. God could be telling you something in your finances. Are you doing it? God got me about something tomorrow. I said, yeah, you know, you're right. Do this, Terry. Yeah, you're right. Do that. And he'll show you everything what to do. And when you obey him, because disobedience, delayed obedience is disobedience. When you keep putting it off. But God said, I said, do this. You're like, well, you know, God, but you know, I ain't ready yet. Okay, God said, well, I'm telling you something to do to help change you and make you better with that. I got a few more things to go because time's ticking. Go to, so the peace of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Peace, he told him, peace be still. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men. And holiness without him, which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. Another form you'd be losing your peace if you have a whole bunch of unforgiveness in your heart. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. Forgive all men. That's another sermon. And holiness. Holiness, I told you before, ain't walking around with no white shoes on and no makeup looking a mess. I'm holy. And mean is fire. Holiness means liking what God likes and hating what God hates. So the more you get peace, if you read the word and you see God don't like that, you become want to be more like him. And that is what holiness is. Not walk around looking a mess. Mean and not changed. Holiness is liking what God likes and hating what God hates. So another form of peace. What is it? Did somebody else do something to hurt you? You haven't forgiven that person. Did you make a bad business deal with someone and they took money from you and you ain't forgiven and you wonder why your business is having some issues and there's no peace? You must forgive and grow. There was some things I was dealing with that I had did business-wise with some folks years back and they used and did some stuff wasn't right. And God said, because there's another level I'm going to next month. God said, you must forgive that individual so your business in that area can be blessed. So the peace can be in that area. Somebody on here could be listening. What business idea you ain't forgave somebody for and you wondering why your business ain't striving and going and you trying everything. You must forgive that person from the heart. These are a few things you got to lay in my heart that can affect your peace. Having hidden sins, unconfessed things that's down in your heart that you have not confessed. Remember, God knows everything. Don't think God don't know everything. He's omnipresent. He see what's going on in your life. So what if it could be something in your life that you haven't confessed and got right? 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hitting things that are hidden, that you think are hidden. Remember, I always tell you, it's three kind of people. God knows, the devil knows, and who else? You know. If you did it with a person, the other person knows too. But if you have anything that's hidden in your life that's not godly and unconfessed, you need to confess it because God wants to see, are you willing to change in this area? Number two, not reading God's word daily. I ain't say just go to church. No, it should be not just go to church. I go to church on Sunday. That's why reading daily contact with God produces a person who's most peaceful for someone who doesn't make time for God. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the word day and night. Therefore, it shall make your way prosperous and you will have what? Good success in life. Having God's word will give you the good success or lead you down a path that will produce success. Praying daily, making time for God. If it's just, if you ain't been doing, if you just start off with 5 minutes and go to 10 and then go to 15, then go to 20, make some time for God. The Bible says, draw nigh to me and I will what? Draw nigh to you. If you make time for God, I'm going to say this. Also, another one God says, constantly having an argumentative spirit. If you constantly are someone who argues and has an argumentative spirit, you are affecting the peace of God in your life. Ask God to show you what makes you argue so much. 2 Corinthians 12:20 talks about having a spirit of strife. We can look at that real quick. 2 Corinthians 2:12-20. You don't want to have an argumentative spirit, a person that debates, fuss with everybody, always the fussy one. That's a sign that you don't have no peace in your spirit. Could it be something you haven't forgiven somebody for? You have to go to God to help you heal in that area. A constantly argumentative person is not a peaceful person. An argumentative spirit can never be happy no matter what you do for them because they're not happy with themselves. 2 Corinthians 12:20, it says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swellings of tumors. This is all the signs of a person that is not peaceful. Strife says, the Bible says, where strife is, there's every evil work. If you're constantly argumentative in your home, argumentative on your job, you're opening the door to the enemy to bring in strife. Fussy, never happy, fuss with everybody else. That's a form of non-peacefulness. And if you're like that and you're listening to this and you hear, say, God, why am I so fussy? What am I argumentative about? Did somebody tell me something that didn't keep their word in line? Did somebody use me? And in my heart, am I full of unforgiveness and I haven't forgiven? So I'm taking it out on everybody else. And somewhere or another, I lost my peace. Last one, number 5. It says, doing things you know are not right and you refuse to change. Go to Psalm 55:19. Here you get your idea. Doing things you know ain't right. I know it ain't right, but I ain't ready to give it up. Well, that's between you and God. That don't keep, you know it ain't right. I saw something this morning that blessed me. Somebody had some on social media, and it said, quit telling everybody, and I'm going to say it because it's true, that everybody die, rest in peace, they're in a better place. If they didn't know God, they ain't in a better place. That sounds rough. If they didn't know Jesus, everybody that died didn't go to heaven. So everybody in a better place. But Psalm 55:19 says, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. A person, if God tells you something to change, it's for a reason. Because he's trying to get something out of you. He's trying to improve something in your life. That's the reason that for a relationship with Christ, he will improve it. Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very one thing. He which began a good work will finish it until the what? Day of what? Jesus Christ. He wants your life to be better. He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is what? Stayed on him. He'll keep you in perfect peace. So today we got a message on having the peace of God. Those 5 things I gave you, you take and go back for yourself and say, Lord, do I have that? Do I read your word daily? Do I have any hidden sin that I know ain't right and I refuse to confess and then change? Repent. Am I constantly an argumentative person? If you're an argumentative wife or spouse or husband, Are you an argumentative boss? Are you an argument? If you're like that, that same spirit that's on you will affect the household and it will affect your employees. What kind of presence do you bring when you show up to work, especially as a leader? And do I know things that are not right? Do I continue to do those things and don't change? Father God, we thank you for your word today.